Welcome to NTN Radio, the doghouse. I can barely hear myself.
I turned you up. I turned you down a little because normally
I still
you're
can
really
barely
loud.
Hear myself. Give me a little bit more volume on the headphone.
I don't know which one you are.
And that you works. Got that sounds so wrong.
Give him a little bit more.
Giving me more, making it harder.
I say give me more about
no
everything.
No one said anything about making it harder. Warren's got a complete curve.
Yeah, he is. Yeah,
we're all back.
We are. That's right. We're all in the studio together after three long weeks.
More than that, right? Warren was gone for a month.
That's right.
You were gone for a month.
It's been five. It's been 5 weeks, and I was gone for
two of them.
I missed two shows.
No,
one,
Phil, none of them.
One
in
you
the last 5 weeks.
One. 6 weeks. Oh yeah, you notice how he does
he
it, right?
Cut it off
5 weeks.
Too
I'm gonna
soon.
Cut it off the week before I left.
When I was gone in the. I was gone in June 11th.
Yeah, that's okay. 6 weeks ago.
Okay, 6 weeks. I said not in the last 5 weeks.
Okay. Yeah, I know. That's what I was pointing out. Everybody, I see how it kind of is.
Yeah, I only count the last 5 weeks.
Yeah.
It's
and
always.
I don't bring it up until it's been six since I go away.
Yeah, no, I know that. I know that. But, yeah,
next
we're all
week
back.
Will be the last six.
Right.
Well,
right.
That's good. It's been long enough I can take another week off. And then,
that's right.
And then I'll be here for the next 5 weeks after that.
Maybe. Oh, and which you said you weren't going to be here next week already.
That's what I said. I said
then you'll have another
5 weeks to get even.
Yeah, there you go. Right.
I don't take him in a row. You guys take him in a row.
Yeah. Yeah, I would have much rather been in the studio.
I'm sure you would. I'm sure you would. What you did was not would not be something I would consider a fun thing to do.
No, it was not entertaining. Right. So, but anyways, we're all back. Lots have gone on since the last time we talked. All together, anyways.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah, but we already talked about that.
Yeah, we did.
Right.
So.
Yeah.
Anyways, anybody do anything fun this weekend?
No.
Well, I was up in New York at a family reunion. I had a good time. It was outrageously hot, and they didn't have any air conditioning, which is just terrible. Except the hotel room. The hotel room had air conditioning.
I own a crappy, and I almost said the S word, crappy cabin, and at least I put an air conditioner in the window.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's been
on. This is a pretty nice place. I don't know why they don't have air conditioning, but...
Because your family didn't pay for
and
it.
I stayed in a modernized, upgraded motel. And I've stayed in a motel
Like an old school motel?
That's
pretty awesome.
No-tel?
You know,
was it
one
named
for
a no-tel
sale?
Motel?
I brought my black light to check the sheets, so everything
was
good.
You gotta bring, some, what's that, the nitrogen or whatever to freeze the bed bugs.
Well, you know, I didn't even cross my mind.
It will next time.
It will next time. Right.
Yeah.
But I don't have any signs of bed bug bites.
Did you like? You know, there's one for sale in my new hometown. Really cheap.
Bed bugs.
Right by. Well, bug probably. Probably comes with bed bugs and roaches. Mm-hmm. But it's right by the beginning of Skyline Drive.
Okay.
It's really cheap.
That you know, that's the one thing about Skyline Drive that I've never understood. You know, all these other bike friendly highways. Although I can't really consider Skyline Drive at $20 a bike now, friendly. But most of them have a motel geared to bikers of some type. You know, sport bikes, adventure bikes, Harleys.
I think the problem with Skyline Drive is that most of the people who ride it are from the area.
Yeah, I would agree.
You know, most of the... If you would
advertise, you know, that I have a biker-friendly motel, you might be able to get people to show up.
Yeah, but I don't make any money off that $20.
You build it, they will come.
There's a hotel at Panorama that I thought that was biker friendly. At least it used to be.
Well, bikers stay there. I don't know if it's I'm talking about one specifically aimed at motorcycles.
I don't think there's enough motorcycle traffic to have.
Oh man, Skyline Drive's got all kinds of motorcycles all summer long.
Skyline Drive has tons and tons of cars too. So
yes, it does.
Why would you want to just?
I don't know. I'm just trying to make conversation.
Okay.
You guys are trying to talk me into buying a hotel.
Yes.
I stayed in this place, and it was pretty sad looking on the outside, but I had heard that it was bearable, and I stayed there, and it wasn't bad at all, so I can't complain.
They had internet, had cable vision.
Had Wi-Fi.
Air conditioning.
Had air conditioning.
Did it have a,
you're golden.
Had a flat screen TV.
Did it have the bed that you put a quarter in and it goes brrrr?
It had been updated. It was.
Could you have paid somebody out in the hallway to come in and shake the bed?
Well, I asked somebody out there if I could go blah, 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 but they didn't.
Yeah, that probably didn't work out.
Didn't work out so well.
Yeah, that's usually happens.
And then that's why the police showed up.
Oh, well, happens.
You know, I'm not fast for long distances, but I'm for short distances, I'm pretty quick.
He's a sprinter.
I'm a sprinter for short distances. I can run away good.
He's like a rabbit.
Yeah, that's right.
I saw one of Ken's favorite bikes over the weekend, a Honda CBX.
Oh, really?
Yes. I went to Cars and Coffee.
The first bike with a straight six.
Yeah, I went to Cars and Coffee, and the one that shows up there every now and then shows up.
Oh, that's
and
cool.
And I also saw a KTM 1290. Which I haven't seen any of those.
Well, I know somebody who was actually on one not long ago. But anyway, yeah.
And this one was well ridden.
Really?
So, yeah. I talked to the guy on that.
I will retract my statement of it didn't do anything a few months ago. I did see a bike myself this weekend. First in the wild Ducati Scrambler.
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Really? Where was that?
It was on
you?
340. I passed it.
Ah.
Harper's
Ferry area?
Yeah.
Nice.
Mm-hmm.
Nice. Okay. I haven't seen one in the wild.
So it was going the opposite direction as you?
No, I passed it and it was head towards Harper's Ferry and I went around.
Try to get the guy to pull over so you could talk to him about it.
I should have.
Well, yeah, they do that on all the reality.
It was
TV shows,
it was a girl.
Norman Reedus.
It was a girl.
It was a girl.
It had a ponytail coming out the back of the helmet. Well, I assumed it was a girl because there was a ponytail coming out the back.
That
of it.
Doesn't tell you anything.
And I figured
days.
If I put the window down and started yelling, that you.
Hey, babe. Nice Ducati Scrambler, and the guy takes it off and be like, oh, hey, Conor McGregor, nice Ducati Scrambler, you chick, and run away.
So, in you just passed it.
Passed it. I didn't try to get him to stop.
Okay. Did you know it was a Ducati Scrambler when you came up behind it to pass it?
I knew it was a Scrambler, but I couldn't tell if it was the Ducati or the ripoff Yamaha or the
Triumph.
The Triumph.
Right.
You know, BMW Scrambler just was released, so it definitely wasn't one of them. Mm-hmm. But when I pulled up beside it, it was that... The classic green and yellow Ducati is the...
Yeah, nice.
It was the first one I'd seen in the wild.
I haven't seen one in the
I've
wild
I've never seen one in the street.
And I kind of was looking at... I figured if there was going to be one, Cars and Coffee over there in Great Falls would be a place to see it.
Right.
And there wasn't, so...
Do you know what year CBX it is? It was or is?
I don't. I didn't
It's probably... It's, I mean, it's obviously a 70-something. So.
Yeah. I didn't ask. It was there. Mm-hmm. Nobody was standing around it.
Right.
And I'm not all that familiar to be able to tell you the difference between the years.
And what is coffee and cars? I've not heard of this.
Cars and coffee?
Cars and coffee, whatever.
Great Falls. It's this gathering. It's one of the coolest car/bike events around because it's usually always something weird and different there. 3 weeks ago I went, and there were two Stanley Steamers there.
Huh.
Right, and I've never seen two together, nonetheless parked next to each other randomly. Or, well, at least they said, I'm sure they had some kind of Stanley Steamer convention or something and got both of them there.
Is it Great Falls, Maryland?
No, Great Falls, Virginia.
Okay.
Virginia. And it's at a place, a little coffee shop, and the guy who owns the garage/gas station across the street where Graham from No Filter... where he works, started it with the guy who owns the coffee shop because they're both car people. And it started, I went to the first one. It was like six cars, right? But I just went to kind of like show some support because a friend of mine was starting this. Now it's like 400 cars and like,
wow.
There's weird stuff and there's probably give or take 30 bikes. But
next time you have it, let me know. I'll ride my army bike over. Because
yeah,
I love looking at old cars and new cars and weird cars.
Yeah, and there's a lot of weird cars there. And weird bikes. You know, it's not like you show up there and you're going to see street rods. You very rarely see a street rod. You very rarely see a chopper. But what you do see is like the CBX.
Mm-hmm.
You see an old Royal Enfield. You'll see it's an old money car show. There'll be Ferraris, there'll be some new money because they're trying to fit in with the old money, but somebody will show up in like a...
Stanley Steamer.
Right, a Stanley Steamer or a Jag X 120 XKE or whatever they are. You know, so I mean, it's... But then again, some idiot will show up in a rusted 510 and everybody will think that's cool. Right. So, you know, it's just one of those kind of cool, weird shows, but I'll let you know next time I go.
Okay.
Yeah, I'd like to go to that.
So, Warren, Give us a preview of what's coming up in the news.
Defying death with an airplane, a motorcycle, and a guy walking on the high line or tightrope.
High wire, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
I call it a tightrope.
All right.
Tightrope?
Yeah.
I thought that's when you attach it to the bed. And,
By the way, I know this story. I know the story, so I'll be curious to see what your little spin on it is. All right, folks, stick around. We'll be right back on the other side of the break.
Okay, Doghouse fans, sit back, relax, prepare to have your minds expanded.
You're assuming a lot there.
You are. Oh, can I give a shout out? I forgot. I wanted to do it in the first segment. Apparently,
no, I'm sorry. Your time's up.
All right, never mind.
Go ahead.
Apparently, the brother of the lady who works in the local tractor supply listens to the show. Mm-hmm. So I want to give him a shout out, even though I don't know his name.
Wasn't there on his badge?
It was his sister that was in the store. So I just give a shout out. If your sister works at Tractor Supply, this is for you.
There you go.
Hey, so sit back and relax and prepare to have your minds expanded.
There's people with sisters that work at Tractor Supply all over the nation right now.
They could all be listening to us.
Yeah, right. Yeah. They're like Mike Tyson. I'm a daddy.
That's right.
Yeah, I'm a daddy.
I'm a daddy.
All right. Dateline, Southern California. Pilot Melissa, and I am not even going to try to pronounce her last name.
Smith. Oh, come on, butcher.
Smith.
All right.
Jones.
Jones.
All right, I will try it since you egged me on there. Andrzej Juski.
It's Polish. Just pronounce it like it reads. Look at the letters.
Andrzej Juski.
That's how it's said.
All right.
Okay.
And Polish names are very easy. You look at the letters, sound them all out, and that's how you say it.
A tightrope actor, star, Andrew Lewis, and motocross legend, Jimmy Fitzpatrick.
Did you just mispronounce his last name?
No, I said Fitzpatrick.
No, the first one. The second one, I mean.
Lewis? No, oh, I got okay. that one right. Okay.
You sure it's not Luis?
Luis.
Louise.
Louis. It's not Louis.
Louis.
Well, they set up a stunt that for only reasons that themselves and Rockstar Energy Drink
could come up with. Wait, I have a stupid idea. Here's an energy drink just making it rain money on me. Yeah. Here you go. I just want it. Take it.
The reason is pretty transparent. Somebody will pay you to do it.
Dear Rockstar Energy, I want to do this
show. We
got to
come up with a damn idea.
I want to produce this radio show that everybody listens to and nobody likes. Yeah. The guilty pleasure of motorcycling is right here. Send me money. Rockstar, send me money.
No one will admit that they listen to it, but a lot of you do.
Yeah.
All right, so imagine this. You got a runway in the Southern California desert. An airplane flying low and slow, blowing smoke so you can see where it follers trail.
Low and slow and at an angle.
At an angle, yeah. Because right? Yeah, of the crosswinds, it's called crabbing. You crabbed into the wind.
Well, crabbing is generally when you fly with the plane tilted into the wind.
That's probably what was going on.
But this one
she also had it turned up a little bit, too.
Yes, she did. She was... Yeah.
By the way, she's very pretty. She's also very pretty.
Which doesn't mean much coming from
How
us.
How old is she?
Late 20s, early 30s?
Yeah, see, here's the problem with Polish women, and I grew up near Polish Town, USA, right? Is as hot as they are before 30...
You need to look at the video.
Listen, as hot as they are before 30, and Lord knows they are smoking hot before 30.
This isn't going to go well.
By the time they're 40, they're far to the ugly spectrum.
They're winning our last Polish female listener.
No, they know it's true. That's why all the Polish girls get married before 30.
We might have gained a few hundred Polish men, though.
Yeah, right they all know it's true. Yeah.
All right. And across a runway at about 35, maybe 40 feet is what the guy calls a high line. I call it a tightrope.
Yes,
tightrope. With a guy walking across it.
Mm-hmm.
And on either side of the runway are ramps for a guy to do a motorcycle jump.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the timing goes all perfect. The airplane's coming in. The guy hits the ramp, does a back, no hands backflip over mm-hmm. top of the airplane, but underneath the guy standing on the high line with his arms up in the air and a touchdown symbol.
Yeah.
It was freaking awesome.
The guy in the high wire had the easiest job.
He had the easiest. Oh, and he was also tethered to the line. So if he fell, he wasn't going to land on an airplane.
Right.
But.
Okay, so we're never getting rock star money.
No.
Because I'm not doing that.
Yeah, right.
I mean, maybe Rockstar will throw us money for. I'll play chicken with somebody.
Yeah, I'll tell you, this whole thing came down to the pilot. Because I've seen it. I've seen it. It all came down to the pilot.
Because Fitzpatrick could do, you know, and he says in the video, he could do backflips all day long.
Right. He's going off a ramp, a very, very steep ramp that is going to take you into a backflip position, right? Very, very easy. It's not difficult. He went. What would you say? Maybe 25 feet in the air?
It had to be less than the high line, so it's probably no more than 25 feet.
Yeah. But it was all came down to the pilot, and she had to fly at, like, the absolute minimum speed she could manage to do, which might be part of what she was doing. But
I'll be totally honest with you,
having seen the video, I wasn't all that impressed.
Oh, look at you.
Ooh.
I just wasn't all that impressed by it.
Look at you. I was impressed.
On your story.
Yeah. Well,
you guys should fight. Because here's the thing. That stunt came down to the pilot, right? We agree with that, right? It's more the pilot
than timing between the pilot and the motorcyclist. Because the tightrope guy, all he had to do was walk out there and just stand on the line.
He didn't do anything, right? And the motorcycle.
Wait. You got a plane flying at him.
Right.
And a guy jumping a motorcycle at him, and he's on this little line. How many feet up?
Motorcycle guy's
maybe
not,
30 feet.
Motorcycle
35.
Guy's not.
Oh, that's it?
Yes.
Oh, all right. Never mind. I'm no longer impressed. I haven't seen the video. Yeah. I'm thinking this is happening like 300 feet. I'm going to say,
hey. No.
30 feet? Not so impressed.
No.
You can survive a fall from 30 feet.
He's also tethered to the line. He wasn't going to get hurt.
Why can't buy the tethering at 30 feet?
The only way he gets hurt is if he landed in the propeller.
Yeah. So he didn't fall on the plane. I think that's why. But it all came down to the pilot. And when I look at that, you know, it's not that it wasn't impressive what the pilot did, but any crop duster could do what she did.
I crop dusted the place we ate dinner on the way out.
Oh, there goes the last.
There you go. See, Phil could do that. So
Phil can crop duster.
So you need to let him, Monster Energy or whomever, know that actually we could do this. Because the hardest thing is the
crop dusting.
So.
I give me a pro.
I was impressed with it because they had to get the timing together. They had to do a few things to put it all in place at one time.
There was only one bit of timing required, and that was the motorcycle jump guy.
Yes, he had to wait for everything to line up.
He had to jump at the right
time
for him to go over the plane.
Right.
Right. So I imagine there were marks out there, and when the plane reached a certain point, that's the go signal.
I mean, somebody actually did math?
Yeah, I'm sure they practiced.
You know, listen. When you have Rockstar, I'm guessing, probably shot $30 million to this project.
Probably.
Right? You can buy an MIT scientist for like $50,000.
Exactly.
You know, they probably had like a guy who had a pocket protector and stuff, you know, and a lisp and drooled on himself.
And I 100% guarantee that the guy on the motorcycle didn't have to pick the time to go. Either somebody was telling him, or there was a light that lights up based on the plane getting at a particular position. Okay, I'm sorry, but yeah. I'm sorry. I don't mean to poop on your story, but I saw the video and I was unimpressed.
It was a cool video. Whether you actually think the stunt was worthwhile or not, doesn't really matter. The end result was a cool video that Rockstar can now put up on whatever thing that they put their stuff up on.
Been much cooler if he would have run right through the propeller. Sorry. That's what.
Or somebody had a flaming something. I don't know. Something burning.
Or the woman in the plane takes the head off the guy on the high wire.
Yeah.
Much more interesting.
Something. Bungee cord to the back of the plane. Like if the plane had come down and caught it on a hook. Like they used to pull the gliders with.
Yes.
Right? Something like that. That'd have been cool.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. 30 feet? I was thinking 300 feet. I was like, yeah.
Well, that'd be a heck of a backflip on a motorcycle. You get more
right,
money.
Right, that's what I'm going. That's impressive all around.
Robbie Madison's probably already practicing it.
Yeah, so. Robbie Madison's like, oh, the guys from the doghouse just gave me a great idea.
Yeah.
I'm going to use that and not give them a nickel
exactly.
of the $500 million exactly. that Red Bull will give
exactly. me. Here you go, Robbie. Here's the idea. Have a plane come down and snatch you out of the air while you're jumping.
Yeah.
Right?
Your trademark. Verbal copyright, they used to say on this network.
That's right, verbal copyright.
Verbal copyright. Robbie, if you do that, we will sue unless we get a snippet.
Yeah, right. Just a little.
Notice an extra zero on the millions.
And don't be fooled by the fact you can afford much better lawyers.
I don't think he can. Well, yeah, probably.
He probably can. He can hire them all.
Yeah, he could probably hire our firm. This guy's gonna pay your paycheck. You're free. You gotta go.
No more pro bono for you.
Yeah.
All right. Well, moving right along. Dateline television. Now, Phil told me. No.
Oh.
Phil told me he talked a little bit about this a few weeks ago before I got back. I did not know that because for some reason I must not have heard that part.
What are you talking about, Warren? I'm not sure what you mean, but what are we talking about?
We're going to talk about Norman Reedus and his TV show. Norman Reedus Rides.
What is Norman Reedus?
That's got to be so annoying to listen to on the podcast.
It probably is.
Oh, yeah.
They're our last Walking Dead fan.
Yeah. Well, listen, I'm going to make the announcement to The Walking Dead, and I know I did this already, but Reedus is, what's his name? Daryl is not the dead one on the show.
Unless this is what he was trying to do to get money.
Was that a spoiler?
Yes, it's a spoiler, and I'll tell you this, because he got no future in riding with Norman Reedus.
Okay.
It would be more entertainment to follow us riding around and crump dusting the waitresses. You know what? They screwed up all of our orders. They deserved it.
I can't say that this was the best motorcycle show I've ever seen, but it wasn't the worst. It was okay. I enjoyed watching it. It was good photography.
Now I got an X.
The audio was, I did not like it at all, and you did point that out.
And it was boring.
I liked the videography, whatever, you know, the photography. They went to some great places to film this stuff. It was great scenery.
You know what?
Anybody can do that.
Yeah.
Anybody can do that. And
yeah, but we're not. We could do that, but we're not on TV.
But I don't think Norman Reedus was a very entertaining tour guide for those things.
He was okay.
You know, like, if you had said to me, here's a documentary we're going to show school kids about riding a motorcycle, that would have been perfect.
No, it wouldn't. It was not, because they tried to be too pretentious at times.
They were too pretentious. I would have punched it. When they were at Dallas Gap, if they said some of the stupid things they said to some of the bikers there that they had said to me, I'd have punched him through his little girly full-face helmet.
One thing I did like about it, they switched bikes a lot.
They've switched a few things. Oh, bada bing, bada bang.
So, yeah, I enjoyed the show at the okay level. I'd give it 3.5 out of 5 stars.
That's a lot.
No, that's right middle of the pack.
Again, I'm not a Walking Dead person, so I can't really.
Did you watch the show?
No, I'm not a Walking Dead person.
This is a motorcycle thing, not a Walking Dead thing.
Okay. It would have been better if zombies had been chasing them.
They did have zombies in the one episode.
I couldn't watch more than 45 minutes of one or 30 minutes.
Okay, let's be honest. The guy only has this show because he was on The Walking Dead.
That is true. And he rides a bike on The Walking Dead.
Right.
And I'm not saying he's not a biker.
Right.
And if he wants to come on the show and defend himself, he's more than welcome to call in.
Well, I invited him. Well, he called the other day.
But he's got to go to somebody with a decent cell phone or microphone, because I'm not putting up with.
I would like to know what
the Swedish chef on The Muppets.
I might have to go back and look at the. That's actually a real good analogy of what was going on. I would like to go back and look at the credits. I think I will, because I didn't delete them all off my DVR, and see who provided the audio system.
It wasn't NTN.
It was a Bluetooth one.
You need to tag Norman Reedus and be like, we know you're coming back alive. That show sucked. Next time you want good audio, contact NTN Radio. That's what you should
do.
Anybody
out
there
do at least as bad.
I couldn't do that. I would hang myself before I released audio that bad.
Yeah, we have pride here.
We have pride. We don't have much of anything. Pride is something we actually have. That show, it just wasn't. I felt so uninspired watching it.
Like I said, it was okay. It definitely wasn't one of the best shows out there, but I enjoyed it. For the video, I enjoyed it for seeing all the different bikes that he was riding.
It would have been much better had they had their mouths shut and just rode.
With the audio quality, yeah.
But even just their conversations, what you could understand. I mean, it's an American show, and they had to have subtitles in English.
That's not good.
Right?
Yeah, the audio was that bad at times.
The audio was, and I'm giving it a not, I'm being nice.
Right.
Yeah, it was that bad at times.
And it wasn't entertaining. Like, when I watch a show like that, I want to sit there and say, man, I'd love to go hang out for a beer with those guys and hang out. At that, I said, man, if I saw those guys in the place, I'd avoid them like the plague.
Yeah,
he's Daryl from The Walking Dead, and he wasn't even pulling booty. I almost said something else. But you know what I mean?
All right. We're going to roll this one up.
What's the point of being a star, then?
Right. Yeah. Unless your booty was riding with you.
Which was quite often in those shows. He had some really nice booty riding with him.
The guy?
No, they had
the only thing I saw was a guy riding with him. That's why I was a little wondered about the old Walking Dead.
You should go back and watch a few more episodes. I think you might change your mind.
I won't.
And when we get back, we're going to have one more discussion about motorcycle television, something that's coming up that looks really good. Really good.
And we're going to have a translation from the teacher from Peanuts about what Daryl said about us.
Okay, folks, we last talked to you hours ago.
Hours?
Yeah.
The
music is a pink.
The music just stopped suddenly.
Yeah, I kind of went a little. I got a little edgy. He said hours, and I was like, ah. Okay. Here, I can put it back out.
Okay.
We'll fade out properly this time. Thank you for stopping the show, Warren.
We were talking about, motorcycles and television. We talked about Norman Reedus and his show. And I think we're in the era of not very good motorcycle TV right now. But on September the 5th, a Discovery Network is going to put on Harley and the Davidsons. It's a historical drama based on the Harley-Davidson coming to fruition and becoming a big major corporation in early America.
I wonder, we watched the trailer. Of it, and you can't tell from the trailer, but I wonder.
The trailer looked good. You got to admit that.
No, I think the trailer did look good.
Old flat track racing.
Yeah, it did look good. I wonder how much of it is
based on history?
Yeah, based on fact versus dramatization.
Well, here's the thing. It looked good, so I'm going to say probably none. I mean, that's usually what happens, right? And I'm not knocking Harley in this. I'm just saying in general.
In general,
starting a business, as Ken and I can tell you, sucks.
Yeah, it does.
And is very boring, and very few people actually get to do cool things when they're starting a business.
And you got
to
remember that
you certainly wouldn't make a movie.
Harley Davidson did not want to get into the racing industry. They were.
Well, that's not what the movie makes it look like.
It doesn't look that way.
Because the movie makes it look like he wanted to stomp a mud hole and walk it dry on people.
That depends on who the character is. I don't know which character was saying that, but yeah, they brought in a guy who was a big-time high-engine designer who wanted to be in the racing, and he drugged him into the racing. So if it's him, then that would be historically accurate. I can't think of his name.
Propanol?
Propanol.
I can't remember the guy's name, Olivetti or Olives. I don't know.
The guy that made typewriters.
Could be. Okay. But, so this, based on the trailer, and I'm going to put it up on the post, and I'll probably also throw it up on our Facebook page as well.
Mm-hmm.
It looks really good. It looks like it's going to be a fun three-episode, three-night event, miniseries, whatever you want to call it.
I think we have to talk about it since Discovery Channel is, sponsoring the show.
Yeah, Discovery Channel also owns Velocity.
And they're also sponsoring the show.
Yes, they're also sponsoring the show. That's why we're brought to you by Shark Week.
And that's right. And they also gave us our gave us our own show as well.
Yes, I remember that. Matter of fact, I actually spoke to somebody on Sunday morning from Discovery Network.
Mm-hmm.
And we were talking. He said, "How'd things go with your radio show?" Because he was kind of curious. Mm-hmm. And I told him to suck a bag of D's. No, yeah. I didn't say
That'll cost you $100,000
yeah.
to answer that question.
That's what I literally said to him. I was like, "Well, you see, I had to thumb a ride here, right?" Come on. I think it looks good. You know, I'm going to enjoy watching some wannabe old. I hope the flat track racing isn't CGI.
Right.
And it's actually like some cool old flat track bikes and stuff.
I hope it is too. Didn't look in the trailer, it looked real.
The guy who seems to be the star was just got dumped by Khaleesi on Game of Thrones, so he's got nothing better to do.
Yeah, he's got to find a new job.
Well, even if he didn't, he'd still have nothing to do.
Well, they're probably going to not need him till season 8 until they, you know, they come over and war because he got left in that city.
Right, yeah, he's left in
And his woman's getting railed out by the Dothraki or something, so he's pretty much.
I think the midget's riding her.
Yeah, I hope so. I have new respect for that guy. But it looks good. Normally I don't get too excited over motorcycle shows because they usually let me down, like Norman Reedus. But you brought this in and showed me that trailer, and I'm kind of looking forward to this.
Yeah, I think it's going
to
be good.
I would have to say it looked more interesting than I would have expected after Warren told us it was called Harley and the Davidsons.
Yeah, right, he said Harley and the Davidsons, and I thought it was going to be like a second version. You know how
Harry and the Hendersons?
That's no,
exactly what I was thinking.
No, I was
exactly
worse.
Exactly what I was thinking.
I was worse. I thought it was going to be Harley Davidson and the Marlboro Man.
Oh god!
Remake
oh,
because yeah. they're doing a remake of Lethal Weapon, a remake
everything.
Of Ghostbusters,
everything,
a remake
everything because there is no imagination.
Why don't we
in
do
Hollywood?
32 Candles while we're at it, Hollywood, with your great ideas
and the Breakfast Club?
I'm going to verbal copyright that and the right. Lunch Club, and just so that I can sue them when they use my ideas.
All right, we're going to move along. Dateline, the insurance industry.
And by the way, Dateline is going to sue us at the end of the show.
I know. I was going to say.
Shut up.
Can we have like? We have sound effects. We have like a ticker tape. So every time
we did it, the board got wiped.
Yeah, exactly. We have that sound.
We do have.
You want to load it up and try it again?
Yeah, because
I got at least one more time.
Because I want to test our free lawyers.
That's right.
All right. According to a survey, bikers in motorcycle clothing are more attractive than those who ride in a car.
Wait, I don't even know what that means.
New research has found that those wearing biker leathers are more attractive to the opposite sex when they are instead of wearing regular clothing.
Oh, you mean
for
the
driving.
Guy? You mean the guy I saw riding in a t-shirt down in where nah. was it?
Over 1,000 adults took part of the survey by motorcycle insurance broker. Carol Nash, which is a UK company, and it revealed that 5 out of 6 cases, members of the public dressed as motorcyclists were voted as more desirable than dressed as a regular driver of a car.
So,
who
picked the pictures of the motorcyclists in motorcycling garb? Because I'm kind of thinking old, fat, hairy guys on Harleys. Not seeing it.
Hey. Or old, fat, hairy women on Harley.
That's right.
I mean, it's the UK, so they're all on sport bikes and BMWs.
Oh, okay. This was a UK study.
I'm going to guess.
Okay.
Yeah. It's done by a group in the UK, okay. right?
Right.
Okay.
So, I mean, that's different than our perception of bikers.
Yeah. No, I would agree. It's probably, you're right. It's probably they're probably dressed more appropriately.
And as Stylex always says, fit Britons.
Fit Britons, right.
They're Fritons.
Well, the survey says this makes biking leathers and boots the go-to garments for those wanting to impress the opposite sex.
Yeah. Been that way since what?
Yeah, I used to
OCCC?
I used to strut around like that all the time, you know?
Yeah. When you sang YMCA in the clubs?
When I sang YMCA, exactly. Exactly.
It's like you're saying like bikers look good, and I'm like, they probably showed 1,000 men a picture of Freddie Mercury.
Right,
and
yeah.
they probably called up like the English equivalent of San Francisco, and they were like, he looks spectacular.
That's right.
Superb.
That's right.
I would just eat him up.
It's cruising gear.
Woo! I'd want to ride his crop.
All right, bikers also trump drivers by a whopping 76% of tests when going head-to-head about road safety and knowledge.
That I could say.
Yeah, it makes more sense because we got to pay more attention.
Yeah, I would agree with that, too.
Yeah. It's just not the levels of attractiveness which came out in favor of motorcyclists, as riders are seen to have a more positive personality traits. The results
British showed riders that, must be so different than U.S.
Yes,
riders.
They must be.
The results showed that people who own a motorbike are viewed as adventurous by a third of the opposite sex, 34%. Closely followed by daring, 28%, and fun by 26%.
I can't believe you're such a beer gut and still wear leather pants.
That's right.
That is so daring.
That's right.
So who's going to put their assless chaps on the night when they go home?
Yeah.
Phil?
I'm wearing them now. Hey, better be.
Yeah. No, sorry, I don't own any chaps, but... you know...
I would have to agree.
I would agree with some of that stuff. I mean, certainly... motorcycle riders, especially younger ones, older ones not as much, are certainly frowned upon by the parents of girls as being kind of a bad boy.
Oh, yeah.
Outlook,
I mean, you'd have freaked out if your daughter had come
home
with a bike.
Remember,
right?
It's not aimed at the parents. It's aimed at the girl.
I didn't really freak. You know, I just said, I freaked out when he brought her back. But
yeah. He's like, whoa. Ken's like, no backsies.
One way only.
No backsies.
No backsies. That's right.
See, with a motorcycle, you don't have to worry about the back seat.
Right, yeah, they end up...
Yeah, but you have to worry about the clubhouse. It's a little work.
You got to worry about the poison ivy on the ass from being out in the field, right?
Dad, I got poison ivy on my ass again.
Yeah.
Shut up, smack. Yeah, most of that survey sounded pretty good. I don't know.
Some of it.
And, you know, at least it makes us look good to other women, in our case. We have to. Otherwise, we'd...
Only if I wear a full face helmet and a like Taliban garb.
If you tried to do that survey here in the U.S., I think it would come out dramatically different.
I think so too. And especially,
I don't think it'd be dramatic, but it would be slightly different.
No,
especially
it'd be dramatically different because the vision in most people's mind of motorcycle riders looks a lot more like Bobby Elvis than it does like a superbike rider. Right?
Yeah. And over there, that's not the case. You know,
right.
Over there, it's like, oh, his Triumph, and he's all like spiffed up and GQ'd.
Right. The guys
or
riding,
he's Mark Marquez.
The guys riding Harleys over here are sitting in a pub over there drinking pints. Okay.
Yeah. Working they're called their, hooligans.
Right. They're working on their ghoulish, their girlish figures.
You've seen Olaf.
Olaf's been like,
yeah, he's lost
Olaf's
a lot of
been dropping the stones left and right. I don't want to compliment him because we haven't had a British superbike. Report in a long time.
Well, I figured that was, but he's that like, was the he's fat
like,
part of his
he's
brain.
He's like getting healthy, which scares me.
That's like the fat part of his brain that follows motorcycle racing? Oh.
Probably.
Oh, yeah. Hey, bada bing.
All right, moving right along. Next story has to do with Scully helmets.
Scully helmets?
You remember those?
Scully.
You remember those? They were the ones of the first ones that came out. Said they were all have the rear view camera and have all the integrated heads up displays in it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like a fighter pilot helmet.
Yeah, they were one of the first ones that really got a lot of attention on that. And the people putting that together were the Whaler brothers, Marcus and Mitchell.
They did a crowdfunding.
Wait.
Yeah, they did it by crowdfunding.
The Whaler brothers.
Whaler. W-E-L-L.
A Whaler.
Whaler. I thought they were like Bob Marley. I was like, no biker, no crash.
Oh, I thought you said Whaler. And okay.
They launched
these guys that make Boston Whaler? Cool.
I was going right to Bob.
They had launched an Indiegogo campaign, you know, kind of like our Patreon.
No, Indiegogo and...
Make
hey,
this money.
I'm giving you...
He's giving you a play for our Patreon to Patreon account.
Yeah, it's completely different than our Patreon, which you can find at www.patreon.com. That's patreon.com/NTN. And show your support for the show. Thank you, and let's move along.
Well, they did an Indiegogo campaign for their AR1 helmets, which was their first one, in the summer of 2014. So they've been doing this for a little while. The idea and the Indiegogo campaign took the internet by storm. In 28 days, they had raised well over their $1 million that they were wanting. They ended
Warren
up with,
just loves watching Ken's head get red and the steam come out of his ears.
$1 million is nothing to do development on a helmet.
Right.
So, it costs you $1 million just to get DOT certification. Just $1 million just for that.
Yeah.
That's after you've already designed and built it.
In 28 days, they raised $1 million, which was four times higher than their target amount.
Well, so they were raising money, obviously, not for R&D on the helmet or
just
for
to anything. Get it started. Just to begin the, you know, they had nothing but a concept and they wanted
drinking money. Drinking money. Yep.
At the end of their campaign, the brothers had their helmets, the funds for it came up to $2,446,000 or 979% more than they had initially thought they were going to get.
Lots of drinking money.
Better bars.
Higher class chicks.
It was a very exciting time for the Wellers. as well as those potential customers who had invested some of them more than $1,000 each for their dream of being like Tony Stark.
Right. Okay. So now I know.
Banging an ugly redhead?
There's a punchline coming in this story.
Definitely
a
punchline.
There's
not
coming.
A punchline. There's a punch
in the nuts coming.
Yes, there is.
Sounds like there's a nut shot coming.
There's definitely a nut shot coming. And by the way, this is coming from MotoFire.com, which is a relatively reputable source.
MotoFire.com.
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 As the company expanded to meet demand, it soon became clear that something wasn't quite right. And over the coming years, two or more funding rounds with an additional $13 million in working capital was completed.
So now we're up over $15 million they've brought in.
Yes. Sadly, the orders...
Really good drinking fun.
Yeah.
That's like Caribbean drinking money.
Yeah, that's like I'm buying an island in the Caribbean.
That's like, jam on, bring me another.
So here comes the kick in the nuts.
Mm-hmm.
Sadly, the orders for the AR-1 helmets weren't coming, and customers were left wondering where the money had gone.
Ooh.
Despite having sold thousands of their HUD helmets.
I'm going to guess some stripper stong, West Virginia.
Yeah.
Despite having sold thousands of their HUD helmets, the company has been plagued with shipping delays. According to tech blog TechCrunch, which I read all the time and have a lot of respect for them.
I do too.
Their sources suggest that perhaps as few as 20 units have made it into customer hands.
I'm surprised that many have.
I am too. I'm surprised they ever made one.
You know, I'm just going to say, what was the name of their company? Scully?
Scully.
Yeah, Scully.
You know, I bet one helmet comes with every motorcycle.
That's just wrong.
It was an option package.
Maybe they were developed in partnership with the motors.
It was an option package. I don't think the motors and the Scully AR-1. Yeah. I'm sorry.
No, you're not.
I really am not. Hey, listen, here's my question of the week, since I'm being a jerk, right? Here's my question of the week. More people have the helmets to watch the rearview camera than people that can watch Moto America that live in the U.S.? Somebody did research.
That's a thought.
All right, so what's going on to happen with this? Well, it now appears that the obvious manufacturing issues and delays have become too much for the corporate investors. And TechCrunch is reporting that both the Marcus and Mitchell, the creators and the people who got this started, have been removed from the board, and the current CEO, Martin Fitcher, has taken over the day-to-day operations of the company. So what does this mean for the people who have invested and purchased the helmets? Will they get their orders? Who knows?
Probably not.
I'm going to say no. I believe Indiegogo takes the money whether they succeed or fail, right? It's not like Kickstarter.
They get their chuck right at the top.
Indiegogo, you get what you earn, right? And they take their cut out of that.
Yeah.
Versus Kickstarter, you have to reach your goal.
If you were dumb enough to invest a grand and not get your helmet, for $10, you can send us an audio clip of you cussing them out. We'll play it on the air.
There you go.
Make the PayPal account to $10.
We'll do like a special episode.
I will do a special episode of you guys doing that. We'll max it up. It'll be funny. Maybe we'll do it like an old NTN song. Remember when we did the doghouse song, something like that. So $10 in your rant and rave if you bought one of those one of those helmets.
Mm-hmm.
If you have one of those helmets and want to sympathize with the people that don't,
go to Birmingham.
Oh, that's even better than what I was going to say. I was going to say, you can bring it here and we can have a contest. We can raise money and pee on it for those people. Yeah,
we might be able to work out a class action suit for you, too.
Yeah, I definitely will work out a class action suit.
Yeah, because, you know, there's a lot of other companies starting to come out with these sounds. BMW is working one that's integrated with their BMW bikes. Sina, the big tech.
I got our Indiegogo one.
Uh-oh.
Well, don't put it on the air. If it's a good idea, it'll be gone.
Well, I don't know. It's a good idea to me, probably not anybody else.
Okay.
A screen that you can put a helmet on, and it watches the Moto America races. Sound, audio, video, all these things.
360,
right?
So you can turn your head and see what's going on.
Reason number 400 why we didn't attend any Moto America races this year.
Right. I
don't think there's any way that assuming that all this is true, and from the companies that are reporting it, TechCrunch being one of them,
mm-hmm.
it probably is true. So with, you know, BMW coming out with their version, Senna coming out with their version of the smart helmet, and there's several others from major manufacturers out there as well.
So then this I don't think they're going to make this. Well, this also tells me that they weren't, that some of that $200,000 or $1 million they should have invested in whatever. They should have invested in a patent attorney.
Well, you know what? It doesn't, I don't, my guess is they couldn't have patented anything they had in there. Everything that was in the helmet was, I don't think
there was
anything patentable in there.
You'd be surprised you can do, look what I've done.
No,
the patent I just
I understand,
issued.
But, you know.
You know, you'd be surprised if you're first. You'd be surprised what you can get away with.
Patenting a thong for large people is not the same as being building a helmet.
I know. I'm just saying, if you need a patent attorney, you can contact the doghouse and we'll hook you up.
There you go.
We do have a referral service.
There you go. All right. Well, this doesn't, actually, it doesn't surprise me at all. It really doesn't. What surprised me, though, is they were able to wrangle $15 million.
What surprised me is that we haven't come up with something stupid like that. Like, well, even that stupid. Remember that, like, all awesome cooler that everybody gave money to?
Yes, yep.
Kills me.
Yeah.
I know.
I mean, and Scully had great promise. When you first started reading about it, everyone, this is cool. This is what we need.
We need a better PR person.
We do.
I bet our show would have great promise if we had a PR person that liked
us. It's not us. When we come back, we're going to talk pro motocross and MotoGP. So stick around, folks.
You know, I don't know how I feel about you guys using my music last week when I wasn't here.
Yeah, I know.
It just kind of seemed wrong.
I felt a little dirty using it.
Right? I mean, it did.
Yeah.
Warren doesn't
Since
even,
when?
Warren doesn't
Since
even
when
listen
have you
to
felt
the
dirty?
Oh, yeah, that's actually a pretty valid point right there. Welcome back to the Doghouse here on NTNRadio.com. I don't know if we've said that today.
We have.
Okay, I'm just making sure.
I don't know if my mic was turned up at the time, though.
That is probably legitimately true. We had motocross this past weekend.
Yes.
Yeah, it's going to be good.
Wait, first of all, we're breaking our own rule.
What's our own rule?
We're going to talk about...
Oh, we've got to talk MotoGP first.
Right, we're going to talk about the international racing first because we end up consuming all our time talking motocross and then we don't have enough time. We have to rush through.
Okay. So we switch gears over to soggy Germany.
Yes. It was definitely soggy.
Germany.
Very soggy Germany.
Looked just miserable there for the Moto 3 race. I mean, it looked like they should have been on jet skis. And it was definitely not a fun race, it looked like, for the MotoGP guys. And I'll butcher a name, Paulie, I don't know. I'm going to call him Paulie Walnuts, won the race because I'm not good with that name. If he wanted me to pronounce it, he'd have been born in America. right? Is that wrong?
Yes,
it is.
It's Powie. It's Kirati Idam Powie.
Right.
Or as I call him, Paulie Walnuts.
Yeah, he comes from somewhere where it rains all the time.
Malaysia. So
he was used to the rain, right?
You know?
Exactly.
I mean, they only have like 9 seasons of rain there. So that was a pretty good, but it was a wet race. Then Moto 2, at times you thought it was going to dry up or at least break a little.
I didn't think so in Moto 2.
I kind of thought maybe a little. They were talking about it a little.
The track stayed wet the whole time.
But it was
Every lap was a lot of water roosts coming off every bike.
And a lot of riders coming off a lot of
water. Oh, my gosh.
A lot of riders. You know, once again, like the tortoise and the hare, right?
Yeah.
Tortoise and the hare. Zarco doesn't get a great start. Very patient. Just waits on everybody.
To crash. 12 bikes went down and DNF'd.
Yeah.
Out of 27. I mean, it was almost half the field.
Yeah. And by the time you got late in the race, the track was still wet, but there wasn't a lot of puddles on the track. And Zarco was able to, you know, that there was he didn't have any competition at the end of the race.
And for the first time, Alex Marquez.
Zarco was putting it on him.
Zarco was putting it on him.
Folger was trying at the very end. It was only like a couple hundredths of a second difference.
No, I think it was more than that.
No, it was
close. It was very close.
It was okay. pretty close.
Oh no, Folger was he did that all in like three turns on the last
yeah.
lap.
Yeah, right. Closed,
he record or checkered it.
Right, that's right.
Because he was German, and he figured
he figured, wanted to win from the home front.
Exactly. It wasn't until that point that Zarco had to work hard.
Right.
It wasn't until that last lap that he had to work hard.
I mean, for a little bit, it looked like Alex Marquez and Mark Marquez had the same parents, and he crashed out.
Well, which is what he does.
Yeah.
Rins looked awesome until he pushed it too much because he was trying to get away.
Mm-hmm. I'm really becoming a Morbidelli fan. I like that his name says Morbid.
You like it says Morbid and Deli. In
and
the same
Deli.
Sentence.
It's right. It's like a great
name.
Right.
That's like death sandwiches.
Oh, yeah. I would order one of those. Yeah. But he had a pretty good race till he crashed out. I mean, you know, crashing
a lot
was,
of people had good races until he crashed out.
Zarco won by attrition. I mean, they were just...
There's no
Alex Rins, Sam Lowe's.
I tell you the thing about him that just freaks me out
Simeon.
About him is that he's just the most patient rider. And that... Patience and riders are two things you don't usually say in the same sentence.
Right,
wins.
I mean, that's the thing. I did feel sad when your favorite rider crashed, Rathapart Willerott.
Rathapart Willerott.
You know, like he crashed. I was like, oh, poor Ken. That's like his favorite.
I think that was Emma's favorite rider. She liked to say that Rathapart Willerott.
Oh, noisy shook. We all liked it.
That's right. Yeah,
we all liked it.
Willerott.
Willerott. So, it was just a mess of a race. Wet, nasty.
Yeah. I really did think Rins was going to pull it out because he was in the lead. He was starting to pull out away from him a little bit. And then he just tried too hard. And
he got in the gas too quick coming out of a curve.
Yeah,
and that was it.
The bike went out from under him.
Right.
And there was just a lot of crashes.
Right.
Yeah. If he'd had the Zarco's patience, he probably would have won.
That was probably the best favor you could do for Zarco, Rins wrecking and him winning.
Yeah.
You know, so now he's got what, 38 points?
Something like that. He opened up a pretty good gap now. Yep. So that helps him up. And they're getting ready to go into break for a while. So,
right.
You know, he'll hold the lead for a long time. Mm-hmm. Then we have MotoGP, which I don't know what the right call was.
It was the most brilliant call that I can say. Remember the time when Marquez wouldn't come in?
Right?
That's what the other guys were doing this race.
Yeah, well, you know, here's the thing. And I was watching on Twitter, and I was listening to the commentary, and I was doing a bunch of other things, and I read a lot of articles. And a lot of people were on Rossi for not coming in earlier. Mm-hmm. He was in a bad situation.
Yeah, he did what he had to do.
In racing, right, there's... Your second place, do you come in for tires? Do you not come? You know, mm-hmm. if the first place guy stays and you're close, mm-hmm. if he had been 3 seconds back, he would have came in. You know, or four mm-hmm. seconds back, but he mm-hmm. was within striking distance and you're close.
Okay.
Without having helmet communications to know how much those guys are gaining.
What happened to all those guys that were in that pack? They all
slipped back.
They all slipped back because they stayed on rain tires when the track was way too dry.
Yeah. But if you're in second place, it's hard to make that call.
It's hard to make that call until the people in your pit are saying box.
Yeah, but
and they can't make you come in. But they're telling you.
Here's what I don't know.
Yeah,
and maybe we'll call Josh Herron and see to get him on the show.
Right.
I'll try and get Josh Herron to get in on the show mm-hmm. because do they have like bot like. The commentators made it seem like they leave it up to Rossi. They say box.
They do.
Telling them that the bike is ready.
Right.
You should have something like box now.
Well, they do you not remember them?
Dummy.
They did that with Marquez.
Right. Well, you have to with Marquez or else he keeps riding around and gets DQ'd.
But I guess he learned his lesson.
Yeah, and he listened to his pit crew.
Because in this race, he saw that the racing line was drying out, and his crew, and you can't give Marquez any credit for this,
no.
His crew was smarter to go directly to the slicks.
Yeah,
his crew chief was smart and went. Everybody else was going to intermediates and
Ed Rossi came in early and went to intermediates. He probably could have won.
I don't think he could have won on intermediates. I don't think so against slicks.
If he came in early, if he came in around the same time, they had enough of a lead.
Marquez was in seventh place at the time that he came in, drifted all the way back, and I think 14th,
well, that's because he ran off the track.
12th and 14th. That's why he was in seventh place, is because he went off
and it was 14th and worked his way back up to seventh.
The gravel. No. He fell back to 14th when he went into the pits to change tires.
Right.
He fell back to seventh when he went off track in the gravel.
I had it backwards.
So, but no, because even with the intermediates on, you needed to be on slicks. And people were just, it was just a brilliant move by the pit crew.
And Yamaha just missed it.
No, Lorenzo didn't miss it. It wouldn't matter what Lorenzo had. He could have had a rocket pack on. Lorenzo didn't have it for this race. He was terrible all week.
Lorenzo has his contract for next year, and he don't care. He did it. Ken Kaplan. Ken Kaplan always accuses him. He quit.
He quit. Yep.
He quit. He pretended he was French. He's like, I surrender.
What it looked like.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's what happened, but that's what it looked like.
I think I had a better qualifying time than him.
You could have, and so whatever. But let's talk.
DiVizioso, his only chance of winning was that Marquez couldn't make the thing up because he was on a Ducati,
right?
And we're being realistic.
But Marquez was making up 5 seconds a lap.
Yeah,
at one point I think 8 seconds.
Well, but he knew he had to go by Iannone, and that's dangerous.
What did he end up winning by? He ended up winning by what, like 42 seconds?
Yeah,
it's ridiculous.
Half a lap.
And but there's one guy we haven't mentioned that had his best race in a long time and not on the main bike, and it's Crutchlow. He finished second. He wasn't, and he's not on the big boy's bike.
And we don't talk about him very often.
No.
Because he hasn't been anything to talk about.
The thing about it is, when you have a wet race like that, that's the chance for those guys that we don't talk about to score a win.
Make a difference.
Like Miller had the win.
Right, exactly.
Redding was doing well. Crutchlow, Hector Barber was up near the front.
Right.
Like, they had BAR was up there in the front. I had to look up. I'm like, who the hell is BAR? I don't even remember. And they were like, Hector Barber. And I'm like, Jesus, he's still racing.
But everything worked out perfectly for Marquez because Lorenzo scored 1 point.
Did he?
Rossi finished in eighth. So what did he end up scoring?
That's an eight.
Eight points.
Lorenzo did get the one.
1 point.
Rossi got the eight.
Right. So he opened up a pretty good lead in the championship now, Marquez. So
this goes back to what we were saying 2 weeks ago, and patient rider now. He is another patient rider, not trying to.
You took a shot and lost in the pool. You took a shot and lost.
No, I didn't take a shot.
But not as bad as him.
No, I did not take a shot. It was a realistic, and I thought about it.
How did it work out for you?
It didn't work out well.
Okay, that's a shot.
But it wasn't a shot. I mean, I made a decision, and Rins was running really well.
Rins isn't a shot in the dark, but either is Rossi, although Rossi, this is not Rossi's season.
Oh, no.
Yeah, he doesn't have any intangibles because there's two races he should have won, and he's screwed up, and maybe glory days have passed him by. I thought this would be a good week to pick
Or maybe just because
Marquez seems to have 3 or 4 good races and then a blah.
Yeah, or maybe Rossi's just waiting until Jorge Lorenzo is not his teammate. Right?
I still think he wants to beat Marquez.
Right, but that's not happening this year, I don't think. So
maybe. I don't know.
Doesn't look that way.
Marquez really to screw up big time.
And Rossi to have a much stronger second half of the season than he had in the first season. But anyway, so let's go to motocross before we run out of time.
Motocross, yes. We do got to do that quickly.
Good racing in motocross.
There was. The 250s was kind of...
Home track for the Martin brothers.
Home track for the Martin brothers. And Webb won the first race, right?
Yes.
Cooper Webb won
the first race. And Alex at his home track, Alex was like in I'm going to wreck all the time mode.
Yes.
Alex Martin just like, I think he wrecked 38 times in the weekend.
At least. Yeah,
but he still finished with a 3-4.
He still finished with a 3-4.
He did finish with 3-4. I mean, he didn't have a bad weekend, and it would have been even better if he could have stayed on twos.
If he could have stayed on two wheels, he probably would have had a good chance to win both of it. But
it was nice.
As it was, a better weekend for his brother.
Yeah, Jeremy had a great weekend.
Had a second and a first, I believe.
Second and a first.
Right.
Which was the overall because he won the second race.
Right.
Webb had a 1 and a 2.
Yep.
So he came in second. I was happy to see Cian Cirola out in the lead for a little while, but I don't know if we're going to see the same Cian Cirola we used to see.
Yeah, I don't know if we are.
And then in Moto, in the 450s.
Stay with 250s for a second. Now, I don't know if you listened to the show last week, but we talked about Austin Faulkner.
Mm-hmm.
And how he did real well this week. He did not too bad. He finished 13th overall with a 6th and a 17th. I don't know what happened in in the second race.
I obviously went slower.
I generally don't mention 17th place.
But no, but he finished sixth in the first race, and I have no clue what happened in the second one.
Right.
Because they never even mentioned him in the second one.
Yeah.
And then we got the 450s, which, you know, race one, Tomac made a bunch of mistakes, but I don't think that would have... I still don't think he would have won.
No,
Roczen was gaining and coming in.
Roczen was very, very comfortable in both races. The person that actually stood out to me this weekend was Marvin Musquin.
Finally had a decent...
He's starting to look like he's healthy again.
Yeah. He looked really good. But Roczen, it was like, you know, it was kind of like Tomac did something he needed to do last weekend, and Roczen completely erased it this weekend.
Yeah.
So
I still think Roczen's riding a 650, not a 450.
It seems like it at times.
I tell you what, he is very, very fast in the corners. You notice how much time he makes up in the corners?
You notice he's changed how he's doing the corners. In Supercross, right? Yeah. In Supercross, he was cutting in on the – always taking the inside
line. Squaring him out.
Right. Squaring him out and coming out. And that's how Dungey beat him all year.
Yeah.
Now he's in motocross. He's taking that outside line every time. He's keeping the momentum. He's keeping the bike up in a higher gear so that you can get more drive off the corner.
Well, and there's – I mean, the outside line is much more forgiving in motocross than it is in Supercross.
Yes.
So, I mean, if you have a decently carved and you can take – get into the bank with your tire, you can actually go pretty fast on the outside.
I don't know which race it was, first or second. He's coming, you know, Roczen's coming down the big long hill.
Yeah.
And I think it was Musquin. And Musquin was, you know, looked like he was just barely moving. And Roczen went around him.
Yeah.
So he had to be doing twice or three times the speed of Musquin on the downhill section.
Yeah.
Well, it was crazy. It was crazy to watch it.
Thing about it is, I don't know what you're thinking of, Phil. Well, that's the music. That's all the time we have for this week. So they're going to be in Washougal next week, but that's the only race we have next weekend.
Yes.
Everybody else is on break.
MotoGP's on break. World Superbike's on break.
Yep. Moto America's on break.
Yeah.
They're on extended break.
World Superbike's on break till September.
So is Moto America.
Moto America is as well, and I think we're in the summer break on MotoGP.
Yeah, I think
so
5 weeks. I think sometime in the end of August.
Is it as long as five?
Yeah, it's a killer. We'll be back next week.